Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this sounds like some kind of manipulation, a little bit of spin on these various legends.
Yes, I think the fairy legends very, very substantially developed, completely uninfluenced by the Christian church, and for a lot of the history of these beliefs, the Christian church didn't try to interfere with them very much. It accepted that the population had these beliefs, and probably even that these other beings existed in parallel, and they didn't worry so much about maybe where they fitted into a Christian worldview. As I was saying earlier, I think once your belief in the Christian church or Christian faith, should I say, became tied to maybe a quite literal interpretation of the Bible, then where it all fitted in and how you explained it within that particular kind of vision of creation became immediately much more problematical. But, and therefore, I think, you know, all the things we've been saying about the use of the cross and the Bible as a protection, and the stories about fairies as fallen angels and fairies worrying about whether they are going to be saved, those are things which have developed maybe in the last 500 years, but we're not talking in a really, really long kind of perspective. I don't think they were any part of the our original understanding of fairies and how they existed in the world.
Now, after the Reformation, the church took kind of a different viewpoint of human fairy interaction, and I'm thinking of Anne Jeffries, who is referred to as the Cornish fairy witch. And, you know, that's an interesting story that the church kind of let her alone for a while, but eventually had to have her arrested.
Yeah, so she is a fascinating one because she received healing powers from the fairy contacts that she had. And once she'd been imprisoned in Bodmin, and they were trying to keep her. It's a bit like that recent film in Ireland. I forget the name of it now. It's only in the last couple of months it's came out. But you know, she wasn't fed by her human jailers, but the fairies sustained her, and so she wasn't eating anything or drinking anything in the jail, as far as anybody could tell, but she remained perfectly healthy. But yeah, again, it's alternative sources of knowledge and alternative sources of power, particularly at that point in English history, became very, very politicized, because it was happening, I think, towards the end of the English Civil War. So it was also, you know, a lot of what was underlying that particular incident was to do with the conflict between, if you like, Protestant parliamentarians and the more sort of high Anglican royalists. So, yeah, there's a lot of sort of subtext to that story as well, that she was being arrested by Puritans, but part of that, I think, was to do with the fact that she was coming out of a more non-Puritan environment in Cornwall. So, you know, the other points were being made than points about fairies in that story, I think.
She managed to survive, I think, to the ripe old age back then, of 70.
She did.
While others who, you know, who claim to be, you know, had contact with fairies and fairy witches were executed.
Yes, I mean, Anne Jeffreys was lucky. There didn't seem to be the so much evidence against her, but at the same time, there wasn't quite the fanaticism in England that there was at the same time in Scotland. But yeah, as you say, at the same time, kind of from the late 16th century onwards for the next 150 years, the Reformation in Scotland was a very powerful force, and unfortunately, yes, a lot of women were accused of being witches, and one aspect of those accusations was that they had contacts with fairies. So, yeah, a lot of women who, like Anne Jeffreys, were doing nothing more, really, than providing healing and herbal remedies to people in their communities, which... Yeah, they may have learned from fairy contacts, but certainly were not, you know, otherwise in any sense harmful. But yeah, they were arrested, they were tortured, and they were strangled and burned. And there's a good couple of dozen women who died that way.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, as you had stated earlier, you know, the Catholic Church tended to kind of, you know, look the other way, or at least accept that, the reality of fairies and people's interaction with them. But then later you had this whole idea that fairies were somehow in league with the devil and witches and things like that, which that wasn't a viewpoint earlier.
No, it wasn't at all. I think the Catholic Church before the Reformation was quite was quite prepared to admit that perhaps there were realities that they didn't understand so well, and they weren't maybe particularly worried about trying to define them too closely or trying to control them so much. But I think the problem was that with the Reformation and with the turn to the Bible as the sole kind of source of knowledge, you then did have a very binary way of trying to explain reality. Either supernatural beings were angels or they were devils, and that was your choice. And given the fairies perhaps fairly unfriendly reputation, then we had to presume that they couldn't possibly be angels, so they had to be devils. So you have the iconography of horns being applied to Puck and that kind of thing, and then the Catholic Church responded to the Reformation with the Counter-Reformation, and I think they became a lot more kind of dogmatic as well, kind of in order to protect their position. So it tended to make them less open-minded about other beings that didn't quite fit within the standard view of the universe, if you like.
Hey, we got a break here with Gene and John and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, John Cruise, we can't have a gray area amongst fairies. They either have to be good or bad. They can't be something more like humans where we have good humans and bad humans, and some who want to enslave others.
perhaps we feel more comfortable with that kind of approach now. But again, if we go back to the tradition as you see it in the folklore, then there's a whole range of different fairy characters. There are helpful fairy characters. There are fairy characters who just are quite indifferent to humans and would rather stay away from them as much as possible. And then there are some that, do want to take advantage of us and steal from us and possibly enslave us. It's as complex a community and as complex a set of individual personalities as you'd find in any human community. But we have been quite reductionist about that in the last 100 years. And fairy, on the whole, I think fairies have pretty much been boiled down to something that is, by and large, harmless but probably friendly towards humans. And there's also certainly something we've seen in the last probably now nearly 100 years, we've seen an idea emerging that they are almost quite environmentalist or ecological in their concerns, and the fairies are, because they're close to nature, we presume, then they are very concerned about pollution and climate change and so on and so on and so on. And I think that, again, is as much a projection of human worries as it is anything that's coming out of the fairies themselves.
It sounds to me almost like the beings that communicate with humans claiming to be from other planets. We're here to tell you to observe the environment and to protect it and keep Mother Earth happy and healthy.
Yeah, I think, if you took those kinds of stories and you took various more recent accounts of fairies and you redacted them so you didn't know who was the speaker, then you wouldn't be able to choose between the two. Yeah, certainly since the 19... after the First World War, that idea of the fairies as, ecological campaigners is something that's that emerged and has become stronger and stronger. Maybe it's like I was saying, it's a symptom of human guilt, really. we're aware of the damage we're doing, and perhaps we feel powerless to do anything about it. So we're trying to find an outside agency who will come in and assist us with it, or maybe shake us up sufficiently to get us to do something about it.
Well, I always say that the UFO knots, whatever they are feckless, because they can say these things, these grand pronouncements, but they have no power to enforce anything they ask.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose you could say very much the same about some of the more recent fairy manifestations, that they, if they have all these powers of glamour, these magic capabilities, then why they can't do something more impressive than just encouraging the individuals that they encounter to pick up litter and that kind of thing. You wonder. Yes, there's a lot of exhortation, but there's seldom any effective action, unfortunately. But you could probably say that about humans just as much, couldn't you? Well, you definitely can.
So you use the word glamour. Why don't you explain to our audience just what that is?
Well, glamour is a word that's used to describe the general fairy magical ability, and particularly their ability to make themselves look different to how they really are, or to change the appearance of other objects or surroundings. So I was talking about midwives earlier, you know, and maybe a midwife is taken out to attend a birth and she thinks it's in a very grand mansion house with very fine furnishings and very well-dressed people, but then she touches her eye with the ointment. She gets the second sight and she then sees through the glamour and she realizes that she's just in a hole in the ground, and what she thought was the fireplace was the roots of a tree, and the woman is not on a very grand four-poster bed, but she's lying on some bundles of ferns. Yeah, the glamour is a way of deceiving humans, basically.
Or make them believe they're aboard a spaceship.
Or making them believe, yeah. Yeah, it's could equally well be applied to that situation, I would say, yeah.
But also, I love the stories of, like, the midwives who are given, you know, like a payment for their task, you know, gold coins or something like that, but then they're told, you know, don't you know, look at them until you get home or something along those lines. And then, you know, naturally being humans, they don't do what they're told, and the gold coins are something else.
Yeah, that's a pretty common sort of thread. I mean, it often isn't I think that I'm right in saying it's probably less common in midwives who fall victim to that kind of trick, because the fairies are likely to need the midwife's services again. Mm-hmm. So when they pay them, they tend to pay them in actual gold and silver. But other people, maybe with a one-off transaction, yes, they think they've been paid in gold or silver. And then when they look later, they find that all they've got is shells or dried leaves or even worse, horse dung or something like that.
Not even lumps of coal.
No, not even something you can burn, I'm afraid. But yeah, I suspect that those tend to be people that the fairies reckon they're only going to have a dealing with once, so it doesn't matter that they cheat them. But somebody they're likely to, you know, they're not stupid. Somebody they're likely to need to use again, whether that's a midwife or the other common one is a musician. Who they may want to play at a wedding or a feast again.
Let's continue with John and Jean and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You
USA News Update.
Very tired, very cold, not so great. My flight was canceled. I was going to go to Vancouver, and now I don't know what to do.
That woman speaks for tens of thousands all over North America who did not make it to their Christmas destinations. This morning, the number of flight disruptions is already growing. FlightAware counts about 1,200 canceled and more than 700 delayed flights around the U.S. so far today. At the Vatican, a packed cathedral for Christmas Mass presided over by Pope Francis. Chronic knee pain again forced Francis to celebrate Mass sitting down. After turning away tourists because of COVID the past 2 years, Bethlehem is again packed with thousands of pilgrims. In a move to defy Russia, many Ukrainian Orthodox have decided to celebrate Christmas today instead of the usual Orthodox date of January 7th. Rich Johnson, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So basically, they're honest only if it serves their own interests. Otherwise, they could cheat you. You can't trust what they say because they can be deceptive. They can be little devils, I guess, right?
Yes, well, again, you know, fairy morality is quite a difficult subject. They have very strict rules amongst themselves. So, for example, from South Wales, there's a story of a family of fairies called Plantris Duven, and which is the children of King Rhys, let's say. And they are very strict about the fact that they should never lie to each other, they should never mislead each other, they should never betray each other. So the fairy population has to be treated with the utmost fairness and honesty, but then there's the humans, and a lot of the time anything goes with the humans, you know, and quite often, yeah, the fairies will come into human markets and human fairs, and they will, yeah, they'll buy goods with what appears to be gold and turns out to be rubbish, or they'll simply use their powers of glamour to steal things off the stalls and never pay anything at all. So there's a clear dichotomy, as I've said several times already in our conversation, between how they view their own world and how they view ours, and how they should behave in each of those.
Okay, so fairies can pass for humans. They can be amongst us, some people that we know. Maybe your next door neighbor is a fairy and you don't know, except maybe they are a little shorter than you might expect. There are no physical differences you could see, like bigger ears or something?
No, I mean, again, we're used to the idea today that fairies have got pointy ears, but going back to what we were saying a little while ago, you know, those pointy ears were taken from Pan, and Pan, the semi-goat Greek deity, became a representation of the devil for the Christian church, and so then his characteristics came to be transferred over to fairies. So yeah, now we think of fairies as having pointy goat ears, but again, that's nothing to do with the actual fairy tradition, and it's everything to do with the church trying to malign them, I would say. So most of the time, there would be no discernible difference. And yes, unless there was something that, magical or unusual that they did, then you wouldn't necessarily know, I don't think.
Maybe your boss is a fairy. Maybe the office receptionist is a fairy. Let me ask you a question which is touchy, but we'll talk about it, because in this society we have people who have different viewpoints about, for example, sexuality. Why, is this something you can even answer, were those who are gay regarded as fairies? How did the connection come? Because we're talking about two different things here.
Yeah, I think the route that was followed to get to that use of the word was, it's not a very a very complimentary one, but I think originally fairies have a reputation for being quite sort of sexually free and promiscuous. And I think I'm right in saying that back in, say, the 17th, 18th century, then fairy was used in respect of women to suggest that they were promiscuous. And it was by that route, I think, that it then got transferred as a way of slurring gay men in particular, by saying, you know, you're fairies because of your sexual activity. I think that's how it developed that sense. So maybe now we tend to think of it, maybe, you know, another insult would be to say, oh, well, it's something to do with effeminacy and so on. But I don't think that's how that use of the word came about. But it's not something I've studied particularly, but I think that's what I've read, the way that word evolved. But it's, yeah, that's everything to do with kind of human prejudices and very little to do with the nature of a fairy, other than to say that, I suppose, going back to our conversation earlier about fairy being a matriarchy, then there wasn't any sense of that women shouldn't have an independent sexuality and shouldn't be able to do what they liked and to have whatever lovers they liked. So there was a great deal of freedom within fairy society in terms of sexuality. I think that comes out of tradition pretty clearly, that, you know, a fairy female could choose whatever partner she wanted to, and nobody would think of imposing any sort of moral judgments upon that. And you can see there's a number of medieval stories which had backed that up. But, you know, she maybe chooses a human partner, and she'll go out and she'll get that partner if that's what she wants.
You're talking about the medieval stories, there's a lot of these stories that that I find interesting that they're almost like morality tales. One in particular I was thinking of where a household heard fairy women outside the house trying to get in, and they were trying to find something unfinished, undone in the house so they could enchant it. The fire had been put away correctly, other stuff had been done correctly, but somebody had left one unwashed dish, and so they were able to enchant that and then gain access to the house, which, you know, basically is saying, well, you know, people are stupid and lazy, so they deserve, you know, to have the fairies invade them.
Yes, I think there's probably two interpretations of that. You know, there is the more kind of prosaic folklore interpretation that is a strong theme in folk tradition, that fairies like houses to be clean and tidy. They like them to be well swept, and they like the fire to be sort of probably banked up at night before people go to bed, and that kind of thing. And I think the folklorists would say, oh, well, these are all ways of humans imposing a certain morality, if you like, or a certain code of conduct on their servants, you know. So the housewife and the female maid servants ought to be clean and tidy and so on, and fairy stories are just being used as a vehicle to put that message over. But as I was saying earlier, I mean, I tend to not go down those sorts of routes, and I tend to try and find to understand what the fairy explanation is.
We're going to try to check this explanation for you with Gene and Tim and John. You're in
the Paracast.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy-to-take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great, like Extendivite very much, seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough, great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, folks, John Cruise is here for the final segment of the Paracast, but he'll be back for the After the Paracast podcast, which is only available from our Paracast Plus streaming service. Uncensored, you want to hear that, because we have so many more things to talk about. Now, as I was saying earlier with regard to fairy sightings, I'm trying to connect them to more modern-day sightings of smaller beings in connection with UFOs and such. But how modern is the fairy legend, John?
Well, how do you mean, Gene?
I'm with their sightings yesterday, for example.
I think there were, yes, indeed. There's always a time lag between these experiences taking place and partly, I suppose, people feeling confident enough to talk about them. But as I was saying earlier, and Simon Young is conducting the fairy census as a kind of rolling process on social media. So he's receiving continual reports from people, which they, you know, there may be a little delay in them perhaps plucking up the confidence to talk about these things and maybe discovering the forum where they can. But I would be very confident in saying that, yes, it's an ongoing process, and somebody today has seen a fairy somewhere. It may take a little while for us to find out about that, but it has happened.
You know, I just, and I wish I could remember what show I heard this on, but there was somebody talking about a friend of theirs who is a well-known Hollywood screenwriter who had a little house in his backyard that he used for writing. And I guess this person one day, all of a sudden, through the wall, actually, they came through the door, was this like a long line of miniature people that he identified as looking like traditional fairies. I mean, not the wings or anything like that, but dressed in green and that sort of thing, marching through this closed door and then out an opposite wall. And this person, you know, swears that this actually happened. Never happened again. Just a, you know, one-off occasion. But I mean, very similar to other modern day stories.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very, very common sort of occurrence. I think if we went into all the reports that have been accumulated by the ferry sensors, we'd find lots of examples like that over the last... it covers... People have reported experiences going back to, I think, maybe the 1960s. And then before that, there was an English woman called Margaret Johnston who collected that kind of report from the 20s and 30s and through until the 60s. And I can think of quite a few instances in her book, Seeing Fairies, which sound exactly like what you've just said. And yeah, we could probably come up with very, very similar cases going back centuries and centuries. So it's very, you know, the other thing to say about these experiences is that there is a lot of consistency to them, which again tends to suggest that there is some common core of experience that all these people are having. Maybe the way that the terms that they use to describe it may change over time, but the basic experience has remained pretty constant for hundreds of years.
I have a question here, and we're running out of time for the main show, and that is, when you talk to people who have sightings of fairies, do you check whether they've already read about the legends and the myths, or is this something they can really say, I never knew about this before until this happened?
It's a difficult one, I think, because there's a... I'm sure everybody has got some information that they have picked up out of books they read when they were children and things they saw on television when they were children and maybe subsequently over the years. And there's a lot of those kind of stereotypes maybe stored up. But at the same time, recently I did a talk in a kind of magical alternative bookshop in London, and a woman described to me an experience that a relative of hers had, which certainly the way she presented it, he just described it to her as an entirely one-off and completely inexplicable experience where he got lost in a moorland area. But again, it fitted exactly with the phenomenon of being pixie-led, as they call it, which is very, very well known in British tradition. So his description was just that seemed to be entirely kind of a verbatim report of his experience, but it... you could have read it in a book of folklore and you wouldn't have spotted the difference. So, yeah, as I keep saying, I think there is a common core of genuine experience here, which may be shaped by people's expectations and shaped by the vocabulary that they have available to them, and will maybe change from generation to generation. One thing that we've seen in the ferry census is that people now tend to, when they're looking for a description, they'll quite often say, it looked like something out of Lord of the Rings. It looked like something out of Harry Potter. So people's terms of reference will change over the years. What they're describing, I think, is much more consistent.
We're just about out of time, so I wanted to ask you one silly, ridiculous question, which, do you personally believe there is any reality to these sightings of fairies?
Yes, I think I do. I've not had a direct sighting, but I think I've had experiences which... maybe particularly the kind of pixie interference kind of experiences, which would again fit in very well with traditional ideas. So, I've spent the last 6 years particularly studying this subject and writing about this subject, and that's because I think there is a solid reality behind it.
We're going to wrap it up now, but he'll be back for the After the Paracast podcast. So, John, if people want to know where to find more of your stuff, where do they go?
Well, I've got probably as many as a dozen books available, you know, from all good bookstores, and they can find the British Fairies blog on WordPress. There's 6 years worth of postings there.
Very well. I'll look for it. By the way, you can find us on Twitter while Twitter lasts, and with what Elon Musk is doing, we don't know. I think now that I'm saying something that is not complimentary to him, the Paracast's own link at Twitter may soon disappear. Someone know he's watching and listening. You never know about that guy. You can also get branded merchandise for Paracast listeners at theparacast.shop, or alternatively, theparacast.store. They both go to the same location, where we have four different logos that you can choose from. Then you pick the t-shirt you like in many sizes. I think whether you're short like a fairy or tall like a Bigfoot, you'll find something that fits you. Very well made stuff at theparacast.shop. Once again, theparacast.shop. And you can also find our streaming service at theparacast.plus. The Paracast Plus offers this show free of the network ads, with better quality audio, and the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next, and it is not censored because the FCC is not listening to us. If you want more information, go to theparacast.plus. If you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, we give you a 20% discount on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions to Paracast.plus. John Cruz, thank you so much for telling us about the myths, legends, and reality of fairies. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.